You're listening to
The Real King
with Joe and Heidi King.
It's been an eternity.
Ages.
I almost forgot we did this.
We missed you so much.
It's your fault.
It is my fault.
It is her fault. All her fault. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've all been laborers.
It's all hands on deck for me and me alone.
Excuse me.
Christina did say when I was like, let's record again in November. She's like, we are completely different people than we were.
I particularly am.
Tomorrow is the last day of voting, and we get to find out who our new fearless leader is. We get to find out who God is going to allow for the next 4 years in America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to affect a lot of the world.
All of the world.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
Nail biter.
Should we, before we get into anything else, tell people where we've been?
Yeah. I wish they could see how Joe looks right now, because he...
I can take a photograph.
He half took his coat off.
Joe, you look like it's flying up behind you.
It's been such a day.
You were here for a while. You didn't even say hello.
It turned into an emergency prayer thing.
Okay, so first of all, we first... took a little hiatus because I had what I thought was trapped gas.
Oh my gosh. When is the last time we recorded?
It had to have been August.
Wow.
And right now it's November 3rd.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And I ended up having emergency gallbladder surgery.
Yeah.
Because I had a gangrenous, which is a gross word, gallbladder. It was dying.
Yeah.
So
I bet you it was moist.
So, testimony uno.
Yeah, testimony number one.
Yeah.
Because it didn't burst.
Right.
And I was totally not going to go to the hospital.
No, because
because our brothers burst, and he had gangrene, and it affected other things by the time he went in.
I didn't know
that. I was very close to being in, like, the CCU, is what I was told.
He actually was not in a good place, so he continued to try and self-medicate. With alcohol and pills he'd get from people at work.
Did he feel it?
Oh, yeah. He was in awful pain, but he's also got a really high pain threshold.
I
just think of a gusher.
No, it's not like that.
I will say, and earmuffs, for those who are a little squeamish, mine burst when they were removing it. And then they had to irrigate the area.
So when you say burst, does it actually burst? Like,
I'm guessing. I mean, I wasn't awake for it. I literally got to the the OR, the operating room, and they were like, hey, this is what we're going to do today. And I was like, great. And they were like, we're going to give you a little something to relax. And I go, please knock me out. And that's the last thing I remember.
Yeah.
Thank God. I was so happy to be knocked out. So that happened.
You know what bothers me about that?
What?
Is in the last 10 years, my experience with people being put under or knocked out is constant people calling us like, we need to pray. Why? What's going on? We need to pray that their bowels wake up.
What?
Every time somebody gets put under, we're on the prayer call list. For let's get these people, upright again.
Yeah.
And that's a constant prayer request for us. How many times? Hasn't it been just a ton of times where we get that call and they're like, hey, everything's going good, but they can't get their bowels to wake up. Mm-hmm. And they got to get their bowels to wake up.
With surgeries, you can't be released from the hospital usually until you have bowel movement. Yeah.
Or at least fart. Yeah.
And I love a good BM.
Oh,
so I'm always like, Lord. Don't let me go to surgery.
So so then the next thing that happened is, I mean, truly 2024 has been a year.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Carlos and I were just, what were we driving around? What were we even doing? Max called. I don't know. Carlos has had it on his heart for some time now that he wanted to buy a house. Cause we're renting.
Yeah.
And then we're neighbors now.
Yeah.
Like very literally.
Like we live like 0.14 mile.
I laugh every Sunday now from because each other. If you don't at least vacate your driveway before people start going to church, everybody at church has to drive past your house, except for the people that live over by like Cadott Stanley.
Well, to my knowledge, I've only told like 3 people where I live. But that doesn't mean old blabbermouth over here.
Might I add, sitting here in the studio, yeah, to my right, I get to look at the beautiful art from our very own Gary Keeler.
Yeah.
That you bought at the art show at the...
Shout out, Gare.
The
rare deal.
The raw deal. Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
It's so much different seeing those in like a setting where they're showing them versus actually hanging on the wall. I think they're more beautiful on the wall.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Yeah. And I also have Jesus Among the Wildflowers there.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we moved, but we moved into what ended up to be sort of a pit.
Fixer upper.
To put it lightly.
Just a little bit of a fixer upper.
And Joe walked through it with us and like did the whole thing. He's like, yeah, we could do these projects. And I bet he will. He's ruining the day.
No, actually, Derek and I were just talking today out in the coop, which is going to be another facet of the property journey.
Mm-hmm. Santa Maria Homestead.
So yeah. we were out there, and he came back, and he was on his way out of town, and we were talking. He said, man, he said, the biggest thing here is like, you guys just did 6 months worth of work in less than 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by you guys, that really means you and Carlos and Max and Derek
and Chris.
And
yeah.
Chris. Yeah. It's bananas.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember last night what it felt like to be in this room when,
it was like,
yeah,
the beautiful flooring and all the trim.
When it was just lawn chairs
and
sawdust.
Mm-hmm.
It is insane how it's homey weird. It gets so quickly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it funny though? Because you like, this is no disrespect to any contractor because they have to do things a very specific way.
And a lot of times they have many multiple projects running at
the same time. Well, and they they have to do like a certain amount and then get it inspected.
Yep. Yeah.
We were blessed because we have people like on hand that are professionals, master carpenters, electricians. So we have
all that
like on call. So we were able to do things very quickly and precisely, but it's amazing how fast you can turn something completely around if you don't have to like do those steps and make it like a paycheck every week. You know, you just get it done.
The other thing too, Carlos and I were talking yesterday, I think, and I was like, by people just being kind and then calling in their own favors on our behalf, we've saved tens of thousands of dollars worth of labor. And I was like, we don't even deserve it.
You do.
Grace.
I've never seen a remodel.
It's unmerited favor.
And with electric and everything under like $35,000.
Right.
And it's not even just the house, but it's the house and the outbuildings and the garage and all the things. So yeah, this long term, as soon as the coop is finished, which you guys are halfway done probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I think we're going to do all our recording out there.
Cool.
Make it the studio. And that's a big area. And then that will be my office where I think all my important thoughts. There's no toilet out there. So it's just me.
Well, and
sitting there on a regular old chair.
It's good because
Me and the
it
birds.
It gets you out of the house?
Yeah, that's what I wanted, is to be out of the house. Mm-hmm. I want my work to be separate from my living space. But the reason it's been such a haul is I was healing, and then we were moving, and it's like we needed space to do that, and we downsized big time. Like, our other place was twice as big.
Yeah.
It, square footage is where we are right now, so we had way too much stuff. Still do. And then, you're not even going to believe it. If you don't follow us on Facebook, you don't know this already. Joe and Heidi have their own addition going on over here. Seriously.
Yeah, we finished our mudroom.
Yeah, and...
So when Christina said we are literally different people than when we recorded...
I meant it.
2 months ago, that could not be more true. So Joe and I found out that we are pregnant and having a baby coming May of 2025.
The last time we recorded, we wrapped up the episode... And you told me that day.
Yes.
Along with the kids.
Yes.
Yes.
And you started laughing.
Which is the reaction that you've had from a lot of people, actually.
So this was unplanned. Like my daughter is 11. Yeah. Like, it's...
Heidi's going to be 40 in 5 minutes.
We were like fully on to the next chapter. The baby chapter was
grandparents.
Fully clothed.
Yeah.
Clothed. Yeah.
It was clothed in grace. Clothed. And dignity.
And when I found out Joe was out working on cars, and I was in such shock and awe, like shock and awe, disbelief. World's like ending.
Something in you knew.
Right. But
and you got the confirmation. You were like, holy crap.
Basically, like, yeah. I don't even know how to explain it. Anyway,
I think you're doing a great job of actually showing people
spit all over the mic. Like, I'm physically uncomfortable right now.
Hands where we can see them. No pictures falling off the wall tonight.
But I literally just left the test on the counter in the bathroom. And hours later, like 5 hours later, Joe comes in from fixing the car at like 10 o'clock at night and goes into the bathroom to like take a shower and go to bed and sees it on the counter. And I'm just sitting there watching TV, like in the living room. And he's like, Hide.
What's going on here? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on? And I'm like, I don't even know, dude. I don't even know. I don't even know. I don't know. And then he starts laughing.
Because it's so funny.
Because it's so funny to watch. Like, you have no poker face with uncertainty.
Oh, for sure not.
Poker face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
I cannot get over it.
God's been taking everybody on a journey in 2024.
We're surrounded by geriatric pregnancies right now. That's the medical term. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would love to hear from our listeners if anybody knows of anyone who is 35 and up that is currently pregnant. Because
we're about to, as Chris Burgess would say, pop. Because we've had like multiple pregnant ladies of the church, and that's his like entrance line to every conversation with them Sunday mornings when they walk in, is like, so when you gonna pop?
That's so funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know Stephanie told me about it.
Yeah.
We jokingly call it the Christian Family Birthing Center now, mm-hmm, because we have so many pregnant people around. Also,
just in our church alone, there was 3 people that were 35 and up that were pregnant.
Yeah. Shout out Stephanie, first of all. I didn't tell Joe this yet, but yesterday, Stephanie and her baby bump gave me a hug at church. And it was not until way too long into the hug that I realized that my hand was firmly planted on her left butt cheek the entire time.
Were you like it?
Like,
like thinking it was her back?
I looked up at her because I was seated and she was standing. And I said, my hand has been on your butt this entire time. And she goes, is it? And then I moved it. And she goes, it is. Yeah. So.
I'm blushing.
Honestly, though. So just in our blushing circle of this part of Earth, Okay. There's like eight people that are above 35 and pregnant right now. And it's blowing my mind. And I was like, this is not coincidental. Like, God's obviously doing something here. And all of them are very unplanned because Avi, right?
Yeah.
So if you know anybody, please put it.
I have my own theory of what's going on, because there is right now a generation that is making choices, and they're in a place where they are struggling to find themselves and identify, and they're making choices that will put them in a place where they're not going to have children anytime soon. So I believe in the next 20 years, there's going to be a generation of women that decide they're going to reverse things, and that they've screwed up and they want to have a child or a family. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be an army of women that had children late in life.
And men too.
Yeah.
Though obviously they play a much different part in this, but
Mm-hmm. But you guys will be able to minister specifically to that.
It is very interesting because, like, men are always, you know, I mean, they're fathers. So with every birth, they're excited. But Joe was in particular, like, a different person with this, like, finding out about this one. Like, he was on, like, next level excitement.
Well, because you've been going through your own transformation. You know,
But the other ladies that I know that are pregnant, that are, you know, around my age, their husbands are the same way. So it's like very interesting that the husbands of all of these 35 plus are like insanely excited.
They're like, I still got it.
Sometimes. No, sometimes you pray.
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Hey. Yeah. Joe yawned at that.
Sometimes when you're already going through like a season with God where you're kind of decompressing from all the religion you've taken part in and all these things, and then politics that have somehow crept into the churches, and you're just like, God, give me a vision, give me something fresh. And you're like thinking like on ministry terms, and all of a sudden your wife gets pregnant.
Word to the wise, though, for anybody that is above 35 that, you know, is not using preventative measures. I just found out from the doctor that most women go through menopause at 48.
Yep. Yeah.
So when I went to the doctor, she was like, okay, so you're 40, you're gonna have a baby. Menopause can't happen for 8 years yet, approximately. So what are you going to do here? I was like, I don't know.
Well, they're trying to push you into surgery or...
Do you know what's interesting, though, too? Is the medical system refers to all of us as geriatric now, right? And high risk and like these crazy things. But then I think about back in the days.
See,
yeah, can you imagine if Sarah was like, okay...
But even not even as far back as Old Testament.
I need God, a tablet. I know you added an H to my name and made me of you, Lord. But I really need my tubes tied after this one.
Well, even like 1920s. Like,
and I'm not knocking anybody that's done that.
No, but I need. I was just thinking, can you imagine in biblical times, they're like, I need a tablet of what to expect when
I'm when expecting.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
It is funny.
Can I just say my doctor is very pro-life.
That's awesome.
Love her. Love her. Talk to her about family planning, whatever.
Yeah.
She goes, you get in touch with a Christian family planner and go through those methods if you want to be doing that. And she's like, outside of the U.S., it doesn't work like this. There's older women all the time having babies.
I was going to say, 1920s-ish all the way up until recent, they had kids. You had kids forever.
Yeah. Your mom was how old? 42?
42.
See, there's precedent.
Joe knows people that were like, what, 45?
The one woman was 58.
Shut up. See?
Honestly, I'd be kind of annoyed.
That's 58? Wild, though. It's That's, so wild.
You know, I don't... This is the thing, though. Would you?
I don't know.
Would you what?
Because, like...
does that happen? Did she not go through menopause?
I have no idea. I wasn't there.
Wasn't you don't want to ask her? You want to call her up right now? Get her online?
Like
coming up on an episode.
I'm here. Coming off like I had a doctor's appointment today, which might I say, testimony, God has went way above and beyond my whole entire Christian life. And once again, all my levels and numbers are way like consistent. You know, for my liver and everything. So thank you, Jesus, for giving me a new liver.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But I was talking with the staff at the hospital today, and they said, hey, we're doing a new thing. So we just need you to go down and get more blood work. And I'm like, I already did all that. And they're like, no, we're going to start AIDS testing everybody. I'm like, yeah, but like...
HIV.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't... Like, I'm not out.
You've been married for 100 years.
Yeah. So, yeah, I went and did that today. That was a first. That was exciting.
All clear. Nobody
right.
worry.
That's right.
But I forgot why I was going to say that.
I don't know. Well, if you weren't saved, you wouldn't have been so confident going down and...
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Well, I don't... Yeah, probably.
If you had continued on the same path that you were on, I mean,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of right now because of the opioids, there's a lot of people that end up
sharing needles
with hepatitis and HIV and things like that because of they're just desperate. They'll use whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's
pretty crazy. When we go up to St. Paul and do ministry with Ignite, up at like the projects, they actually have vans that come in mm-hmm. every week to disperse clean needles.
You don't even have to go that far. Like the city buses in the city of Eau Claire have Narcan.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, it's on every campus.
These people, they come in mm-hmm. and they come to the users.
Yeah.
Like they don't have to do any work to get clean needles. They bring them to them. Along with other, they have, if you're really going through withdrawals or something, they have government drugs where if you can come up with $5 right there, you can buy them cash.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's crazy. And so experiencing that, going up there ministering and then seeing what these people are subjected to, you know.
It's wild.
I know Nick and I were just talking about how it's fun to feed them, pray with them. Love on them, give them clothes, but that doesn't give them a way out.
Right.
You know, you have to have the gospel of Jesus Christ and you have to preach it in spirit and in truth. You know, we were talking about going to El Salvador and a Hispanic gentleman I was talking to said, hey, don't take your Western gospel down there.
What do you mean?
He said they
just... El Salvador is a Western country.
Right, but the gospel that just brought them out of civil wars and being overrun by MS-13 was the judgment of God that he will wipe out and even kill an evil adversary. And a lot of those MS-13 people were taken, like left lifeless
mm-hmm.
In the process of bringing that country back into the favor of God. And there's a really strong undertow of Christianity that's stronger than what we're finding in the U.S.
Oh,
they're truly 100%
outside of the U.S. God. Outside of the U.S., Christianity is very different.
Yeah.
I can tell you that firsthand.
And he said, okay, if you're going to go down there and preach, don't go down there and just preach lovey-dovey Jesus so that you can stay in your sin, because they're not going to relate to that because they just watch what God's really capable of. He said they've just seen the true hand of God come in, prophesy to their president through three different people, and give him the courage to be able to put the forces together to save an entire people group and put them in a place where they can have their house and their job and their whatever.
Bukele, the president, he actually said, because Tucker Carlson asked him in a recent interview, like, how did you do it? Mm-hmm. And he says, and you can look this up right now, he says flat out prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tucker Carlson like laughed.
He did.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
You know. He said, well, he just got reelected too, Bukele did. And his platform, point number one, was we're going to seek God first as a country.
Wow.
And Tucker Carlson said, how can you run on that platform? And he said, because you don't seem to understand that I'm representing the people that are electing me.
Yeah.
And that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They want to seek God first and have God transform the country. Isn't that crazy?
Well, it's so different. Like if you have Carlos explain some of the things that he's witnessed growing up, going through a civil war and all that stuff, and the murder and the violence and the theft
unmitigated
and all these things.
And it's so demonic. And MS-13 was actually, they've gotten to a point where they engage in satanic ritual.
Oh, I bet.
So Carlos put up political signs as soon as you got your new house.
The day we closed.
The neighbor is a competitor of mine. They immediately went out and put up opposing signs.
Have you seen our whole street now?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
He is it all opposing? He encouraged a lot of people to stand up. But this is the thing, is here you have a man that lived through hell on earth, literally.
Literally.
And made it out of that. And now he just bought his first home.
Yep.
Yeah, he has a nice vehicle, two of them.
First, he came here legally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Filled out all the right paperwork.
He just went and bought his first riding lawnmower.
Yep.
Like he's got his own, he owns his own woods now.
Yeah.
He's got his Second Amendment rights. He deer hunts with us.
Mm-hmm.
So he's lived through all this stuff. He couldn't have his rights to
own as many firearms as he wanted or whatever. He's
living the American dream.
He works 40 hours a week.
So here you have this gentleman that's gone through that, and he's got a very conservative nature.
Yeah.
And he wants to see other people do well. He's always helping people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many old ladies in the church this dude's gotten tires for free.
Yep.
Right? So fast forward to, or reverse to where he puts his signs up. The neighbor, who's a competitor of mine, small business owner, goes and puts up opposing signs supporting a candidate who their last term said, anybody under $200,000 a year will not pay taxes. And we got hit with more taxes last year, like $30,000, $40,000 worth of taxes. And we don't make that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone I talked to paid in crazy taxes last year.
Yeah.
And now these same people who have lied flat out to us, and I'm talking, not even talking about pro-life or anything, just flat out lies about finances. Now they get on and they say the same thing. Anybody under 400,000 income.
Well, that's just the whole game.
And I said to Heidi, does that mean if we paid that 200, now we're going to pay double that?
Right.
Because they just doubled their number. Are we going to pay double that? Are we going to be in real trouble?
Hopefully not.
You know, but this is the thing, is those people haven't been through.
No.
So whatever gospel they've been taught, it allows them to acclimate to a lifestyle that says, I'm going to think solely about me and my personal condition and forget everybody around me. I don't care about my neighbors.
Do you know what sticks out to Carlos about the current administration? And not to like just be so far political on this episode, since everybody is so sick of hearing about politics, but even if you take all of the social issues off the table, for the most part, what is shocking and alarming to somebody like Carlos is the overreach from government to try to police social media platforms, to police free speech, to penalize people for freely speaking their mind. You don't need free speech and protected speech to protect the speech everybody approves of. You need free speech and the protection of free speech for the ideas and thoughts that people don't like.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason you have protection of free speech. So the overreach of that, the idea that you don't have to show up on election day with your ID in hand and vote on paper
right.
is wild.
Right.
Yeah.
To somebody like Carlos. You can't just mail in a ballot
right.
in El Salvador. You have to show up with your ID. Like the idea that voter ID is even a question
right.
that we have to vote on an amendment for our constitution to say this is for U.S. citizens 18 and older to yeah. vote in elections
yeah.
is absolutely wild to yeah. him. And like that, even if you take all those other social and economic issues off the table and the idea of like everywhere you go, there's immigration policies in place. Mexico has a southern border wall. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
So that Salvadorans and Guatemalans can't get in. The idea that, and that's true. It's called the Wall of Tears or something, right? Something like that. And it's just those main things like national security, the integrity of elections, and the government overreach, and then seeing career politicians who supposedly make, what, $100,000 a year become millionaires mm-hmm. from insider trading and all this stuff. That's what Bukele just completely cleaned house on.
Yeah.
He said he sat down his cabinet and he said, we're coming after you.
You know, it's wow. crazy. When I look at politicians, I don't like any of them. I love them all. And I pray for them all. I even pray for our current president. Like there's often times where I'll be in the truck and I'll see a political sign and I'll pray for those people. Right.
We should.
Yeah.
Right. We should pray for them more than we criticize them, actually.
And I know where I came from because I was very liberal
yeah.
for a lot of years. Like, I believed, like, in abortion and stuff like that. Because I know what a kid can experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they can experience
so it. So that was all, like, pre-deliverance.
In the home. And they can experience it in their church.
Yeah.
And they can experience at their uncle's house or their aunt's house or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I know that a child's innocence can be stolen from them. So, you know, you take somebody that's been through some trauma and then say, you know, there's a chance that those parents don't love that kid anyway, or maybe they just don't feel that they could do it. That kid could have a horrible life. And then you have thought like, well, why make them suffer?
Right.
So I understand how the devil works with that because it's manipulation of somebody that's already got like trauma or hurt or self ought. You know, they don't love themselves. And then they look at it and they're like, that's a good idea. But now on the other side of it, having two beautiful, amazing kids and then one on the way and understanding that with transparency and allowing them to see that we love you and we want you to do well and we want you to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And if anybody ever does anything like this, expose it immediately to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So instead of, I had an experience with a lady in her house and I ended up sharing intimate parts of my testimony. I thought, man, she could tell me to leave right now because this is weird. Like, I don't even know why I'm saying these things. And they're very wealthy people. And then when I got done telling her about what I went through, she told me, you know, that happened to me as a little girl.
Mm.
And I said, really?
That could have been the first time she ever
first time she told me it was the first time she ever told anybody That's besides her
crazy.
Mother. She went home. And she told her mother, and her mother beat the tar out of her.
Oh, no.
Her mother went bananas on her for letting that happen.
For letting that happen?
Yep. So here's this little 7-year-old girl. The mother just
Seven?
Beats on her, right? And this is a neighbor man with a family. She beats on her and treated her different the rest of her life than her other siblings. Well, come to find out late in life, it happened to her mother. And what she did is she, through her life, thought probably at some point that it was her fault. And then her way of mitigating this with her daughter so it never happens again was to take out all the frustrations that she had with herself about not getting the situation fixed or resolved or in the open so that somebody could have done something. Instead, she took out her frustrations on the kid, got violent with her, and then treated her different, and then was accusing her all the time the rest of her life. Where have you been? You weren't over there, were you? Right? You see these things, and then you see the climate politically and spiritually, and it totally gives me a compassion and a heart for these people, because I know that I've been in some of the places they've been. They don't know any better. They haven't had an encounter with God.
Right.
And they won't have that encounter with God if I don't talk to them, because I don't like the sign in their front yard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to be able to overcome. I have to be able to overcome the circumstantial evidence that's presented to me about them, mm-hmm. to be able to get to the person where God can create a door and an open avenue of communication.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We are so blessed to have the privilege to share with you. If you haven't already, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us by searching at The Real King Podcast. That's at T-H-E Real King Podcast. The Real King Podcast is recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is hosted by Joe and Heidi King, who are joined each week by Christina Santamaria as a moderator and contributor. It is produced and edited by Joe and Heidi King and Carlos and Christina Santamaria. All content is under copyright and all rights are reserved.